Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. For this morning's text and meditation, I would like to have us turn to the Gospel of John and reading from the third chapter and reading from verse 14 through 21. John chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And the words are as follows, in the name of Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. Amen. The first commandment that we learn of the Ten Commandments is, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And also it continues by saying, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. We are not to make any graven images, or bow down, or serve them. This is a puzzle to the commentators, the Jewish commentators, that they could not really explain, because it takes into effect when Moses made the graven image for the people to look at, which was the serpent or the snake on a pole. And if they looked on it, they were healed. They were healed. And those that refused to look upon it and believe the promise of the word given, they died. They could not stand or withstand the plague. Now, Jesus compares this story of Israel's journey as Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yet, we find later on in the Old Testament of the children of Israel and their journey in the desert that they begin to worship this serpent on the cross. And so then, the ruler of that day was, and I believe it's in Numbers 21, gave the order, as we have it, Numbers 21, and starting from verse 4, as they were journeying by the Mount of Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loathe this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents amongst the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore said the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, and we pray the Lord that he take away the serpents. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said, Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived. Now, the Israelites were discouraged they complained, and people died, as I mentioned earlier. So God told Moses to have them put this serpent on a pole, and when they looked upon it, they shall live. But I also mentioned that in the book of, later on, as it's recorded for us in the book of Kings, in the second book of Kings, in the 18th chapter, we read about it in the fourth verse and on. It was King Hezekiah that removed the high places in verse 4. He broke the images. He cut down the groves. He broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto these those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him amongst all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. He destroyed the serpent, because the people were worshiping this brazen serpent that Moses had made. But then we read now, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What King Hezekiah destroyed, for they had turned it into an object of worship. They were burning incense to it as if it was something holy. Now God said, I am the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, and I will not have any other gods before me. And he demands people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus was speaking these words that I was just reading to Nicodemus. And Jesus took this event to illustrate his own death on the cross. His own death. And certainly we can say that Jesus would never have said it unless it took place. Moses lifted up the serpent because the people were dying. They were dying because of their sin. We today are dying because of sin. Paul writes to the Roman Christians and he says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all, for all have sinned. For in Adam we all die. David himself acknowledged before God in the book of Psalms when he said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And this is that no one is good, no, not one. Why? Why was the serpents used? Well, we go back to the beginning of Scripture, and Garden of Eden was made for Adam and Eve, and the serpent came there, and he betrayed, he caused them to sin and to reject God's word. Satan himself. And so it was in the wilderness that the Israelites were provided with what they needed. God gave them what they needed, but they complained. They were bored with the food that was before him. And no matter what God did, he could not please them. And they wanted that which they could not have. Serpent is an animal, it's a snake that crawls on the ground. Moses lifted it up on a pole, so everyone who was bitten by the serpent could look up to it and be healed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came here. He descended upon this earth. And it is God himself who lifted him up so that all could look to him and find salvation. Jesus Christ became man to be lifted up in the flesh, yet he had no sin. He was, as we know, without sin. But God made him to be sin for us so that we could be made righteous in him. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, even as it says in the 13th verse, right before our text, and no man has ascended up into heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Satan, the serpent, came in the form of a serpent, and he led mankind to sin. Now Jesus Christ was put upon that cross to bring redemption. Jesus Christ, who was without sin, took the form of sinful man on the cross. The serpent was real. The pole was real. Those who looked upon it with their eyes, but had to believe what Moses said if they were to be saved from that attack. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, took upon himself the flesh. He was physically raised on the cross. God had come here in the form of man in flesh so he could die for us. Moses lifted up the serpent, but it took faith to look at it. Same with us. We could say Jesus died on the cross and go on with our life. But it takes faith for us to believe that it's for my sins that he died. My sins that he gives me life and salvation. And this faith is for all, for it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever, whether it's a little child, whether it's an old person, and it's from every race and every tongue and whatever color we are, or whether we're rich or whether we're poor, Christ saves. He has come to save us one by one and not by groups. He first of all came to his own, and we know what happened. In the first chapter of John, it tells us, he came to his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ came to his own, but they rejected him. No one is excluded. We could say it was the Jews that did it, but it's for all mankind. And we know that we need to believe for ourselves. Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and we were all affected by it. But it's by the grace of God provided by Christ that we are accepted by him. We are accepted. Even as Paul writes to the 5th chapter of Romans, and he says in verse 17 through 19, for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall be many made righteous. And this is not just men only, but it's men and women, boys and girls. And it's only through faith in Christ and looking to him that we find salvation. We believe Christ took our place. We believe that he died for us. faith in itself doesn't save anyone, but it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings us life and salvation. What is this true faith? It's not just to escape from something, but it's that which begins from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He leads us to know Him, and we are in Christ. Whether Jews or Gentiles, as Paul writes, whether bond or free, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and that body is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, His church. And as he says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What does perish mean? It means we are lost. We are lost, and we continue to be lost unless we accept the salvation provided by Jesus Christ. And that when we surrender to him, we have life, eternal life, as we have the golden text. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is a definite time when God visits his people. The Bible speaks about the time of visitation. Jesus established this in his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection, that we would come to know him one at a time. He gives us his life. He does not harden our hearts. Satan is the one that wants to harden our hearts and turn away from them. But the life that God gives because of faith continues. And it continues to live within us once we surrender to him in repentance and believing our sins that separate from him, forgiven through the blood of Christ. And then we continue in him. Because of that faith, the Holy Spirit that comes to live within us and leads us, and it becomes a part of us for the rest of our life. And not only the rest of our life here, but for all eternity. It is the life of God in mankind. We know that our God is eternal, and the life that he gives is also eternal. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who stands at the door and knocks, even as we find it in the book of Revelation. And he pleads us that we would open that door and allow him to come and sup with us, and we sup with him. And then we can sit with him at the throne. Jesus Christ himself, who is at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for us so that we would come to him. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he says it is the will of God that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That is God's will, but we know that not all do. We stand responsible. God doesn't force us, but he persuades us, and he wants to show his grace and his power. For he says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemnation is passed upon those who refuse to believe. We know that God hates sin. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves us sinners so much that he allowed his Son to die for our sins. And if we follow Satan here in this on this earth, we will also follow him in eternity. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light of God, which brings us to know him. When we are in darkness, we're in bondage. But now, is the gospel the good news to be preached? that we come to the light of God. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And we know what happened when those who hated the light, they killed him on the cross. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, was despised. He was condemned. He was rejected. And he was put to death. He was put to death as the worst of criminals. He was not regarded as godly, but unworthy to live. It's not easy to believe that Christ was crucified for us and died. Yet Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Repentance and forgiveness. When we have our sins forgiven and washed, we begin to love God. We love what God loves. We love God and love His Word. His Spirit lives within, and He saves daughters and sons, and we can become His children. May God's grace and mercy be multiplied unto us, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word and the promise, the great promise that we have in your Son, the Lord Jesus, which is the golden opportunity for all of us to receive and to surrender. For you sent him for everyone, and he wants us to surrender and to follow him.